right, we're in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13 this morning. And if you wanted a title for our message today, it's this: it's time for an encore. It's time for an encore. Everybody say that with me. It's time for an encore. Let's say it one more time because you didn't mean it that time. It's time for an encore. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 13 says this: "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you." So it's not meant to be held on to. The good news of Jesus is not meant to be held on to for yourself, but it's a stewardship of God's grace given to me for you. "How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So real quick sidebar before we finish this: if you want to catch up from where we were, I'd encourage you to go listen to last week. This is Paul writing to Jews and Gentiles, a mixed congregation. And so he's telling them, what you were once separated from, you are now brought near. You are now a part of it. You were once away from Christ and not able to communicate with him and have a Messiah and have a Savior, but now, because of the gospel, you are brought near. He says, "Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You can underline that phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ, "to bring to light for everyone." Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
"For everyone. To bring the unsearchable riches of Christ, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." Wow, that's huge. "This was according to the eternal purpose that he was realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." So we said our title for today is, "It's time for an encore." This whole passage, Paul is giving an encore from verse 2 down to verse 13. It's a parenthetical statement. In other words, it has nothing to do really with what he's said so far and what he's going to say in the rest of the book of Ephesians. He breaks his train of thought here in chapter 3, and he wants to go on an encore and give you some things that are essential for the Christian life. We want to put it this way today: there is a soundtrack to the gospel life. There is a soundtrack to the gospel life. That's our big idea today, is there is a soundtrack for the gospel life. And Paul is giving us an encore performance to some things that he said to them and what they would know is important. What their life is supposed to look like. What their life is supposed to sound like. You know, God has a sound for your life, and it's time for an encore. There is a soundtrack for the gospel life. Now, there's been some pretty amazing encores in history. Maybe you're a fan of The Cure, right? And April 23rd of 2009, The Cure performed, and it was Robert Smith's 54th birthday. And he decided that on his 54th birthday, he was going to perform this concert. And this concert consisted of 50 songs. Now, could you imagine this morning? We didn't do 3 songs, but we did 50 songs. That'd be amazing. I'm all about some worship. Aaron would be all about that. But here's the deal. He did 25 songs, and they walked off the stage. And for his 54th birthday, he walked out on stage and performed 25 more songs. Can you imagine that? It's time for an encore. The show lasted 4 hours and 16 minutes. That's one heck of an encore. For those of you who aren't fans of The Cure, maybe you're fans of Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen broke records with his mammoth concert in Helsinki on the 31st of July, 2012. In it, he played for 4 hours straight. 4 hours straight, no break. No encore. The whole show was an encore. It's amazing. My story about an encore comes from September 20th, 2002. September 20th, 2002, my sister bought tickets for us to go see Aerosmith. Aerosmith in Cincinnati, Ohio, right there at the Riverbend Music Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. When she bought us tickets, I was so excited. I couldn't stand it. And we got there and she goes, "Oh, by the way, I couldn't get any other tickets because they were too expensive, so we have lawn tickets." Now, if you've never been to Riverbend Stadium, where the music center is, it's this huge amphitheater that's covered because they get rain all the time. It's right there on the Ohio River. It's covered and it's row and row and row. It goes down like this. And so we're in the lawn. You can't even actually see. You couldn't even see the stage. And I was like, really? We're going to go see Aerosmith and we can't even see the stage? But when we came in, I was like, I wonder why there's a stage in the lawn. Couldn't figure it out. I thought maybe they had an event there before and they just didn't have time to take down all the staging. And so they began to play all their songs, "Walk This Way," right? And all of these songs. And at the very end of their long set, Joe Perry goes on this 10-minute guitar solo. And everybody else walks off stage, and Joe Perry is just shredding away on the guitar. And he ends his 10-minute guitar solo, and he sets the guitar on a guitar stand in the middle of the stage. And it's still on reverb from "Walk This Way." And the lights go down, and all there is a spotlight on the guitar. And the fans just begin to go nuts. They begin to go crazy. And the lights go down. The light goes off of the guitar. And the next thing you know, you hear people say, "They're coming through the crowd. Here comes Aerosmith walking through the crowd." Like I could touch the band as they walk through the crowd, through the lawn, to the stage that's set up in the middle of the lawn. And now we are front row for the encore. It was amazing. It was an unbelievable show. I won't tell you all the other things that happened at the show. They were ungodly. I'll just tell you that. But this was an amazing encore for the crowd, especially for those in the lawn. And it was unlike anything I've ever experienced. I'll never forget being there. Well, this whole section is an encore. This whole passage that we're looking at this morning here in Ephesians chapter 3 is an encore. And Paul has some essential things that he wants to communicate to this Gentile and Jewish community that says this must be a part of your life. And there's no one who is within the family of God that is outside of this. In fact, if you are a follower of Jesus, this is the sound that should come from your life. He has just unpacked the beauty of the gospel that both the insider and the outsider is brought near because of the message of Jesus and what he's done for us, whether you're Jew or Gentile, and how the gospel is a mystery and it was hidden from the Gentiles, but now because of Jesus and his revelation to Paul, the message of the gospel is for everyone. Black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight, the gospel's for everyone. And it's available to us through Jesus and what he has done on the cross and how he creates a whole new culture. That's what we talked about last week. Not a Christian culture, but a gospel culture. That's not about our personal preferences. That's not about what we like and what we dislike, but it's about what Jesus has done for us. And now our whole life is different. Paul is about to go into an encore, and it's some unforgettable things. He's laying out for us the truth of what life should sound like and what it should look like. And Paul understands this because his life was playing a different soundtrack before he met God. His life was a life of religion. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. His life was about self-righteousness. His life soundtrack was about devastation. It was about perfection. And it was about religious preferences. And Paul went from making people who were following Jesus prisoners to becoming a prisoner of the gospel. This is what he says. He says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In other words, I went from making prisoners to becoming one. Because the good news of the gospel changed his life. And the soundtrack of his life sounded incredibly different. And now the encore performance is so much better than the first one. You see, there is a soundtrack to the gospel life. And the question is, does my life sound like that? Does your life sound like that? Does it have the essentials that are right here in this passage? And if it's not, what is the soundtrack of your life? What's the sound that's coming from your life? Can life really make beautiful music? Is it beautiful? Does your life make the sound that he talks about here? So what we're going to look at today, what we're going to see through this encore performance by Paul, is the soundtrack of the gospel life. So we got five tracks, right? Five tracks, and I promise you, it won't be 4 hours and 13 minutes, right? It won't be 50 songs. It's going to be five tracks because that's what Paul writes down for us, these five tracks of the gospel life, the soundtrack of the gospel life. First track is this: in Christ, we're all stewards. In Christ, we're all stewards. The sound of our life is a sound of stewardship. He says this: assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Paul is saying that his life was meant to be steward for something other than selfish means. He spent his entire life up until the point when he met God on the Damascus Road, pursuing God in selfish ways, pursuing life in selfish ways. He records this idea of his pursuit of life by saying, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In other words, I had memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those books, and I could quote them word for word, not miss one comma, not miss one punctuation. He could quote them for everything and for everyone. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he said, the soundtrack of my life was selfish, and now it's steward, and it's a stewardship of grace. Is that the soundtrack of your life? Is the soundtrack of your life a stewardship of grace that says the grace of God, the kindness of God that has given me what I don't deserve, I'm going to steward that and give it to others. I'm going to give it away. He says, since you've heard of the stewardship of grace. Is that what they hear from your life? Is that the soundtrack that comes from your life when people hear you talk, when people watch you live? Is what they hear a stewardship of grace? You see, Paul had not only been saved by the grace of God on the road to Damascus for himself, but the grace of God was meant to be steward in his life for the Gentiles. It was a life for others, not for himself. It was a stewardship of grace given to others, not just for himself. Of course, all of those Gentiles understood that God had not only saved him, but made him a messenger of the mystery of God. You see, we're all stewarding our life for something. Is it the grace of God? We're all stewarding our life for something. Some of us, it's our house. Some of it, we're stewarding it for our retirement. Some of it, we're stewarding for our job and our position and our status. We're all stewarding something, but are we stewarding the message of grace that says he takes rebels and he makes them friends? It takes those who are enemies and makes them sons and daughters of God. Are you stewarding this grace? Are you stewarding your life for this? Is the soundtrack of your life about the stewardship of the gospel of Jesus? Or is the soundtrack of your life about you? Is the soundtrack of your life about you? You see, we only get one life. There's no do-overs. Like my good friend Matt's here. We've been friends for like 29 years, and we were working on our basement all day yesterday and all day Friday pretty much. And not many breaks. And we're realizing we steward our bodies poorly when we were growing up, right? Like my neck hurts. I have to turn like this today because I was supervising him put the floor down, right? Right? I was supervising. So I spent 2 days doing this. Looks good. A little bit more, right? And then he would hand it to me to go make cuts, right? So this is what I did for 2 days. This looks good, right? And his knee and his hip hurts because even though he had knee pads on and he's all around the floor and he gets up and then we're at Happy Creek Coffee today in Front Royal and he's like, I think I pulled something, man. My chest hurts. And I said, it's from all of this with the plank boards, right? We stewarded our bodies for sports, right, growing up. And we're paying the price for it later at 38 and 40, right? We're paying the price for how we stewarded our lives and our bodies. The question is how are you stewarding the grace of God in your life? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we want you to know that we're here just like Paul in this passage was there preaching and teaching and writing to the church at Ephesus to tell them about how good the grace of God is and how no matter how far you are or no how long you are away from God or how far you've sinned or no matter what you've done, that God and his grace can find you. Because this life is about a stewardship of the gospel. So track one, in Christ, we're all stewards. It's in this moment where we take the little capo thing and we move down another notch. And we're going to play this track. In Christ, we have a mystery to make known. You see, in the New Testament, the mystery of the gospel is not something eerie or inscrutable, but rather a truth that was hidden by God in times past and is now revealed and made plain in the person and work of Jesus. It's made plain. You don't have to look any further than the cross of Jesus to understand the mystery of God's love, that he would come and live for you and die for you and sacrifice himself for you, that the mystery has been made known. You see, it's by God's revelation that a mystery is made known to Paul. And so now he wants, for this reason, to make the mystery of the gospel, the crazy thing that the God of the universe would create people, they would sin against him and rebel against him, and he would pull them towards himself rather than creating a whole nother race. That the gospel of Jesus is that crazy and that beautiful and that amazing. And he says, I want to make this known to everyone. That the track of my life, the soundtrack of my life is not only a stewardship of the grace, I'm going to hold on to it and steward it well, but I'm going to make the mystery known. See, if you're here and you're discouraged by the trials of your life, this is the same place that the church of Ephesus was. They were discouraged by Paul's imprisonment. He's writing from prison to this church, and he's saying, hey, in spite of your discouragement, I'm a prisoner of Jesus. Not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of Jesus. And this is worth it because I need to make the mystery of Christ known. You're discouraged by my trials and my imprisonment? You got to be kidding. This is what Paul is saying. I'm here because I love you. Because I need you to know the good news of Jesus. Gentiles, Jews in Ephesus, you're discouraged by my trials and my imprisonment. I've been given a gift of grace to be able to tell you this message. It's an honor to be a prisoner. It's an honor to be a prisoner. It's not a punishment. I've been shown the mystery of God's purposes in this world for his people. And so I'm stewarding not only the grace, but the mystery of God. This is what life's about. This is the soundtrack of our lives. And I don't know about you, but when I read just those first two tracks, I'm like, is my life really that? Because really what I think about most of the time is not that. Most of the time I think about my job. Most of the time I think about where we're going to eat after church, right? Most of the time I think about what I'm going to do this afternoon. Most of the time I think about how my neck hurt and I couldn't play golf yesterday. And how we just ended up working the rest of the day. That's the thing that I think about the most. But Paul says the soundtrack of the follower of Jesus, the gospel life, is one that stewards the grace of God and the mystery of God. So we got two tracks down, three to go for this encore. In Christ, we are all stewards. In Christ, we have a mystery to make known. This is what Paul made up his life about. The rest of his life was to say, what is unclear to you about the gospel of Jesus and how he lived for you and died for you? I'm willing to go all the way to prison, all the way to death to make that mystery clear. Are you willing to make your life about that soundtrack? If you're about the gospel life, that's what your life is meant to be about, a stewardship, and about the mysteries being made known. Now, this third one is completely radical, okay? This is like when Joe Perry decides to go on the 10-minute riff, and you're not quite sure where he's going with it, right? This is it for most of us in this room, just so you know. Track three, In Christ, we're all ministers. We're all ministers. Now, I love the fact that he picks this word, minister, because he doesn't use the three words that are used in the New Testament to describe the pastor. He doesn't say shepherd, he doesn't say overseer, and he doesn't use the word bishop. He uses the word minister on purpose here. Because he wants you to know that every single person in this room, every single person that he was writing to in this church in Ephesus is a minister. Every single one of us. He says, you are a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. You see, the Apostle Paul was chosen by God. He had this title of apostle, but that's not the title he uses here. He uses the word minister because that is what we're all called to be. You see, the soundtrack of your life, the soundtrack of my life, is not about me being a paid pastor of Mosaic. It's about being a minister of the gospel here in Winchester. It's about being a minister of the gospel in West Virginia. It's about being a minister of the gospel in Front Royal. This is what he's called all of us to do. If you're watching online, that's what he's called you to do, to be a minister of the gospel. This is what this means. Like when my friend Matt goes home and he goes to work tomorrow at the House of Security, he's the minister on duty at the House of Security, right? That's what his job is. At Ziploc Company, he's the minister of the gospel on duty right there. It means, Brandon, when you go work at the hospital and you try to get all these doctors to come in and work there and do what you're trying to get them to do, you're a minister of the gospel on duty right there. And Aaron, when you go and be a nurse, right? You're a minister of the gospel on duty right there at night, throughout the night, when we're all sleeping, right? Minister of the gospel, right? Cherry, when you're teaching, you're on summer duty right now, right? You're a minister of the gospel at home to your kids. Your stay-at-home mom, you're a minister of the gospel to your kids. Meant to share the grace of God and the love of God. So here's what this means for Mosaic. This is a moment. This is a culture-building moment for Mosaic. I don't want you to hear me say this. It means when you come to me, or you come to Jonathan, or you go to Joel, or you go to Drew, as the elders, as the pastors of this church, and you say, I need you to do this. We've missed the soundtrack of the gospel life. We missed it. We're all ministers of the gospel. Just whether or not we get paid to do this, right? Whether or not we've been set apart to now equip you to do this. But we're all ministers of the gospel. Our job description is to take the good news to everyone, everywhere. It's for everyone. It's for even people we don't like. It's for people we don't want to be around. We're all ministers. I love that he uses this word because the soundtrack of the gospel life is not that we set people aside and we pay them to do Christian ministry for us and to us. It's for all of us to do. This is an all hands on deck approach, right? This is every hand on the net, right? That's what we want to do over the next few months is create opportunities for you to put your hands on the net and say, I'm going to help bring in the fish. I'm going to help bring in the harvest because all of us are ministers. All of us, every single one of us. This isn't about gifting. It's not about, well, I got the spiritual gift of that or I don't have that, so I guess I get a pass. No, he says we're all ministers of the grace of God. We steward it and we're messengers of it. Told you, it's a Joe Perry moment right there, right? Just went off. So in Christ, we're all stewards. In Christ, we have a mystery to make known. And in Christ, we're all ministers. Because this is what we're all called to be. This is the soundtrack of the gospel life. Notice I didn't say the Christian life, because if you look around across evangelical American Christianity, it says, no, we pay people to do that for us. We co-opt that. And that's absolutely different than what this book says. And we say this all the time, and we're going to keep saying it, that these words matter. My words don't matter. What I have to say doesn't matter. What these words say matter, because this is authoritative. This is God's word to you and to me, and this is what matters. And so we shape our lives around this, and the soundtrack of the gospel life is we're all ministers, every single one of us. Track number 4, in Christ, we're all messengers. In Christ, we're all messengers. Verse 10 through 11, Paul says he's arranged his life around being a messenger of the gospel. He arranged his life according to God's eternal mission. Even when things look rough, even when he was shipwrecked, even while he's writing this in prison, he has boldness because he knows the mission of God and how committed God is to bringing it about. So Paul arranged his life around the mission according to God's eternal mission. You see, you and I are called to arrange our lives around the message of God. Is the gospel the message that comes from your life? And here's the basic gospel. You and I are sinners and separated from God. In other words, we are in rebellion to God.
And God, in His mercy, sends His Son Jesus to live for us, to die for us, to be buried and to rise from the dead, and then to call us to become sons and daughters of God. And the way that we do that is through repentance and faith. We turn from our sin and we turn back to God. And He says of this essential message, I'm a messenger. Before I'm an apostle, I'm a messenger. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a minister and a messenger. Paul arranged his life around this message. Paul's job was to make this mystery, this gospel, known to all people. And when you go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, that's our job description. He says to go into all the world and make disciples. I love how he says this because he doesn't say, okay, you paid professionals, you go do this. And go do this for people, and they will sit and they will watch. Or they will sit and they will fund you to do it. No, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. And then he says, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. In other words, it's all of our responsibility to take this message to the whole world. To the whole world. To the whole freaking world. Can you believe that? That's our job description. That seems really impossible. So because it seems impossible, we need His help. And it means we need everyone to pitch in. Every single one of us to pitch in and to be a part of this. So, track one, in Christ we're all stewards. Track number two, in Christ we have a mystery to make known. Track three, in Christ we're all ministers. Track four, in Christ we're all messengers. He has one more track. He's got one more track. And this is that moment, okay? I'm just telling you. It's like at the Aerosmith concert. It's 2002, so not everybody had a smartphone. Okay? So you know what they did. What did the crowd do when the lights went out? The lighter, right? They put the lighter up. And they started doing this. And this is so amazing because this is where the power comes from. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. In whom? Who's this whom he's talking about? Jesus. In whom? We have boldness and access. In Christ, I want you to hear me say this. Here's the last track. In Christ, we have an all-access pass. We have an all-access pass. This is amazing because Paul is saying, he said this in the earlier verses, it's according to the riches of Christ that you've been brought in and brought near. And because He's paid for it, you have an all-access pass. He says, with boldness, we have access. What do we have access to? You have access to Him. You have access to Him. That means the soundtrack of the gospel life, what He's calling you to, He has given you Himself to go live this out. Isn't that amazing? You have an all-access pass. That means no matter what troubles you're going through, what trials you're going through, what hardship, like Aaron talked about before, there's people in this room that are hurting and broken and aren't quite sure. Not sure where they're going to live. Not sure how God's going to come through in their marriage. They're not sure how God's going to provide for the next bill. And here's what Paul says. In the midst of all of that, I'm writing to you from prison that you have an all-access pass. You got an all-access pass to Him. And here's the beautiful part. We've got something more than an all-access pass to a concert. We got something better than an all-access pass to maybe go hang out with your favorite sports team. Right? We got something better than an all-access pass to Disney World. We have an access pass to God Himself. So let me ask you this question. If we have an all-access pass, why would we ever enjoy it by ourselves? If I told you today, parents with little kids, that I was giving you an all-access pass to take your kids to Disney and to go to all the parks, and you had a fast pass for every ride, right? And you could take as many people as you wanted. Why would you go by yourself? Why would you do that? It would make no sense. Like, you take as many people as you want. It's paid for. Why would you ever go by yourself? You see, the soundtrack of the gospel life says this: we take the grace of God to everyone, all the time, because we're ministers, because we've been given something that we could never pay for. You can't pay for it. It's crazy. It's crazy that the God of the universe would come and love us and die for us. And he would say, you get to have this and now take it to everyone. Why would we ever see this, what we do every week, as normal? Why would we ever see our everyday as normal? It's not normal. You are loved by the God of the universe. You're loved by him. And he says, just go take it to him. Go take it to him. That's why we're here. If you're here today and you're like, I don't even know why I came here today. I know why you came. I know. You came to encounter the grace of God that you can't earn, that you can't do anything to afford. You can't do anything to earn it. But he willingly laid down his life for you. And all you have to do is open up your heart and your hands and your life and say, I receive it. And the moment that you do this, the soundtrack of your life changes. It changes from being a selfish soundtrack. Changes from being a soundtrack and an encore that you walk out on. I've been to some other shows in my life. And I remember thinking, I can't wait for this to be over so I can leave. When they take their little break, I'm out of there. You might like this band, but that was Dave Matthews' band for me. I've seen them several times. I'm like, I don't need to hear you mumble, right? For 10 more minutes, I'm done. I've heard 2 hours of that. We're great. I love it. I love listening to it on the radio, right? Or on my iPhone. We don't listen to radios anymore. But the soundtrack of my life, when the grace of Jesus absolutely changes me, is something that becomes unforgettable, that I can't walk out on. That's what Paul wants for us. That's what God wants for us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, this was the weirdest message I've ever heard. And you're thinking that because the soundtrack of your life is something altogether different than what's been communicated here today. And what we want you to hear today is this, is that there's only one cause in all the world that will matter a billion years from now. And you can be involved in that on the terms of grace. You can bring your weakness to the table, and the risen Jesus will bring himself and his spirit to the table, and he will absolutely change your life. And you will walk away clothed with the righteousness of God, the forgiveness of God, the kindness of God. And he will make your life a part of this thing that will still be around a billion years from now. See, we all need to live for something bigger than ourselves. It's just whether or not we choose the right thing. And today is your opportunity to choose Jesus and to give him your life and for him to come into your life and change the soundtrack of your life. So if you're here today and you say, I don't have a relationship with God, but I want God to change the soundtrack of my life to the soundtrack of grace. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Say, I don't know Jesus, but I want a relationship with Jesus. That's me this morning. Would you just slip up your hand? Long enough for me to see it. Long enough for me to recognize it. No one's looking. Say, I want the gospel of Jesus to be the soundtrack of my life. Maybe you're here today and you say, hey, I do know Jesus, but the soundtrack of my life certainly sounds different than the one that you're talking about. It's not really been about stewarding the grace of God. It's not been about stewarding the mysteries of God or the message of God or seeing myself as a minister. But man, God spoke to me this morning and that's me. And I want the soundtrack of my life to no longer be a selfish soundtrack, but one that will matter a billion years from now. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up. Say, that's me. I want the soundtrack of my life. I see that hand. You can put it down. I want the soundtrack of my life to be about the gospel of Jesus.